Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be here, and I'm so happy to see all of you. I came to be a part of this conference from New York along with the Associate Director of IFCO. I want you to see who she is because you may have questions, stand up, of either of us who work full-time as IFCO staff. And we're joined by members of a local area committee who are working with us, especially in relationship to two aspects of IFCO's work. One is the work we do to send caravans of humanitarian aid to Cuba, and the other aspect of that work is the recruitment and processing of applications for the Latin American School of Medicine for those who want to take advantage of Cuba's offer of a full scholarship for the study of medicine in Cuba. I want the members of that committee to stand because I want you to see them. So as you're moving about today, you'll know who to pop your questions to and who to try to get in touch with so you can become involved locally. There's Alicia, who just did the introduction, Dr. Quinn, Carol, Patty, raise your hand, Cindy, and there's some others around. You'll get to know them. This is Nancy standing in the doorway. We think we might have recruited a new member of the committee just this morning. Tokima? Help me with the name again, please. Taloka. Taloka. Nancy Taloka. So thanks to all of them, and thanks to you for being here. Why are we here? Let's try to capsulize in a few words our purpose. Our purpose is to primarily to promote an offer which has been made by Cuba, which is, if you really think about it, it's astounding. It's, as Alicia said, it's kind of unbelievable. And we want people to know about it. We use as many means as we have at our disposal to spread this information. And one of the ways is to have conferences like this, to do media work, radio, television, newspaper. There is at least one media person who's going to be moving among you and shooting today. We want you to know who he is so you won't think he's an agent or something. We have been very, we think, reasonably successful. We have a long way to go in getting coverage about the scholarship offer in some of the major print media and electronic media in the country. One of the poster boards, tripart, on the windowsill has some of the newspaper articles from a major commercial media across the country. We hope to expand all of that with your help, the help of the local committee, and the help of those of you who are here. So announcing, promoting, sharing the information is one of our purposes. More pointedly, we hope that we have a number of people here who might yourselves be interested in applying for med school in Cuba. And persons who either teach or parents or people working in community service activities, we want you all to be thoroughly familiar with the program. We want to answer all of your questions. If anyone leaves here today with questions unanswered, we want it to be your fault, not ours, because we're going to answer as many questions as we can think of, born of our experience in doing this for several years, but we're really counting on you to ask questions. There are no dumb questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. There's no, nothing is out of bounds or inappropriate. Ask any and everything that comes to mind that you think about that may trouble you, that you will need to be familiar with in order to satisfy yourself and in order to answer the questions of family and friends and other people who may think you're crazy for thinking of going to Cuba. So we want you to be thoroughly, fully informed. We also hope that we'll actually recruit some persons who will not only satisfy their curiosity, but who will actually apply for the med school scholarship. We have a number of applications, and we'll reserve the giving of those applications to persons who, after you've heard and learned more, decide, I really want to study this application, I want to apply for the scholarship. So let's see who are here. How many of you in this room have been to Cuba? Less than half. And that's good because we like to reach new people. We like to talk to folk who are not already informed and converted. How many in this room want to be a medical doctor? I like that. Very good. Well, there's a lot of good information that you're going to be sharing this morning and this afternoon. Let's go a little farther. How many of you work in institutions, schools, community centers, churches, or just parents who are here because you want to help spread the word? You want to be able to share this information with young people whom you know. Now, that's good. I think we came to the right place this morning. So what that all suggests to me is that you're going to be full of questions. And Alicia and I have decided that any time in the course of the presentations that you want to raise questions, be sure to jot them down so you won't forget them. And there'll be moments when you can ask questions even as we're going through the material we want to present to you. We want as much give and take as possible. It isn't our intent to just, you know, talk at you. We want interchange. We want you to feel that you're really a part of what we're doing today. Now, how many of you are medical doctors? Hey, we got one. what did you do with Dave?
He had to live.
His father is here. Okay.
Well represented.
Yeah. Now, I should tell you that our agency, the Interreligious Foundation, Pastors for Peace, we're not doctors. We like to work with doctors. We need people like Dr. Quinn and Dr. Levinson and the hundreds of doctors we work with around the country. They help to keep us informed and keep us focused and to do the work that has to be done that is better done by people who are from within the medical profession. So we're well surrounded by a lot of excellent doctors, but we are people who have experience, a history working in community. IFCO, the Interreligious Foundation, is a 40-year-old human rights, civil rights, community organizing support system. We've worked with people all across the country, urban, rural, you know, Appalachia, farm workers, you know, Asian American, African American, Latino, Latin American, you name them. And we have seen in those communities consistently one of the burning criminal problems of our country: inadequate health care. Health care that is often beyond the cost of the average person. We've seen a focus on privatized health care that excludes people who really need health care. We've seen a focus on, you know, bells and whistles and high-tech stuff, but less interest, less focus on primary preventive care. We've seen a system that at work that delights in or specializes in treating problems after people, you know, have get health problems, but they're not paying as much attention to the preventive aspect of health issues. We've seen discrimination of all kinds. I mean, the majority of those 50 million people that Alicia referred to who don't have health care are first of all poor, secondly people of color. A lot of them are, you know, immigrants. We have this notion that health care is a privilege, it's not a right. In Cuba, health care is a right. You can't be unhealthy in Cuba. Now, you wonder why we, in a sense, are looking to Cuba as a model. It's not only because it has offered these scholarships, but it's a model. It's an example of a society that is taken seriously, very logically, with a deeply felt commitment to the health care of its people. I don't want to steal Ellen's thunder, because she's going to talk about the history of healthcare in Cuba and the system and all of that. But if I may, I'll steal one little piece.
Go right ahead.
Okay. In Cuba, every neighborhood of 600 or 800, she'll give you the correct number, of people, 120 families, has a clinic, a neighborhood clinic, maybe the size of this room. And there's a doctor and a nurse in residence. And they know everybody in that area. And in Cuba, they have, you know, vaccinations, more than we do in the U.S., she'll tell you all that. And if you don't go to the clinic, they close the clinic in the afternoon and they go make house calls. House calls?
Mm.
I mean, wow. Any of you remember what house calls were? The theory is that if you're unhealthy, you threaten the right of everyone in your area to be healthy. It's a totally different concept. So what we want you to do is to join us for this ride, to join us for this session this morning. And one of the first things you have to be willing to do is to practice what, you know, some writers have called the willing suspension of disbelief. Just try for a moment to set aside all of those prejudices, the propaganda that you've heard about Cuba. Fidel doesn't eat babies. We want you to forget all of that stuff that you've been hearing about Cuba. We want you to be open to hear a story that is not a story that you're likely to hear on mass or commercial media. And we come at this with some credibility, having been to Cuba so many times, having spent time throughout Cuba, having studied it close up. So we're happy to present all of the information about Cuba, as well as the information about the scholarship that we hope some of you will seek in order that you can realize your dream of becoming a medical doctor. Now, there's so much more that I could say. It's always tempting to take more time, but I'm going to restrain myself and wait for your questions later, and also provide opportunity for others who are going to make presentations to present to you.